Hey all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Wind Column Sports Networks. So remember to check us out at windcolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening here in Alberta in the world of wrestling. Today, I am joined by Paul from the YYC Wrestling Hub once again to be talking about RCW Fight for Respect, which took place on Friday, January 31st at the Royal Canadian Legion No. 1 in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It was a really fun show, and we'll get to chat about it here in just a moment. But before we do, we will be hearing from our sponsors over at the Wind Column Sports Network. We're going to be hearing from the Conversations with Love podcast, which is a fantastic podcast. Remember to give them a listen. And then we'll be getting straight into the action. But also, some quick notes to mention as well. This is going to be a busy week for the world of wrestling here in Calgary. RCW putting on another show this Friday, January 7th. All proceeds and everything with a $20 minimum donation at the door will be going to be buying Red Heart a new mobility van. It's going to be a really great show. A couple of good matches that have already been announced that we talk about here on the podcast. So stay tuned for that. As well as PWA has a show that's going on in Calgary on January 8th at the Cedarbrae Community Center. So keep an eye out for that as well. So let's hear from our sponsors and then get straight into the RCW Fight for Respect review in just a moment.
Hello friends, this is Spencer Love interrupting your regularly scheduled podcast experience to remind you to tune in to windcolumnsports.ca every Wednesday for Conversations with Love, the one-on-one interview podcast featuring the best of the best in Canadian pro wrestling and available wherever podcasts are played. Tune in to CWL on the WCSN for your previews, reviews, breaking news, and now, interviews, proudly brought to you by Beercade YEG.
Hey everybody, Anthony back. I am joined by Paul from the YYC Wrestling Hub once again. Paul, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's Groundhog Day. It's my favorite holiday. It's your favorite holiday.
It's my favorite.
It's a perfect day to talk about wrestling over and over and over again.
We definitely can. We'll just repeat the exact same matches over and over again. By the way, overwhelming consensus across the majority of Groundhogs, including our local one, early spring. I'm just putting that out there. All right, we are talking RCW Fight for Respect, which took place on January 31st at the Royal Canadian Legion No. 1, second show of the month that took place in Calgary. There was one on the 3rd that had in Ace Austin and Silas Young, as you reminded me. and it was a really great show. This was another really great show. Really great talent that they brought in from out of province and people I'm really excited to be talking about. But let's just get straight into it. Their first match of the night was for the British Commonwealth title. Matt Hart versus Big Jesse Youngblood. I know both of us are big fans of top talent, and I always love watching Big Jesse Youngblood in the ring. This was no different. This was actually a really fun match. Matt Hart and Jesse Youngblood, what did you think of this match so far?
I thought it was really fun, but I think you have to give a lot of credit to Scott Lee Crew.
Yes, you really do.
His antics on the outside of the ring really take away the pressure on a guy like Big Jess to interact with the crowd as much as he might want to as a heel. Scott Lee Crew really, really helps out top talent a lot.
Top talent just works so fluidly together, man. It's just, it doesn't matter the matchups. It doesn't matter who's in the ring. If top talent is there, they work so well in tandem. It's like the Undisputed Era of Alberta. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's a great comparison for them.
Yeah. And Scott Lee Crew, like you said, is fantastic. Actually, some of the best antics I like is between Steven Styles, the promoter, and Scott Lee Crew, and like the shit that he'll say about him, just calling him like a jackass or like a, you know what I mean? Like a jerk and shit as he's running around the ring. It's fun. It's obviously more of an adult show, the RCW shows, but I really like that about those shows as well. There's a very loose audience because of it.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch Matt Hart work as a face again after being heel for so long.
Yeah.
Because this was really the first show that I've seen him where the crowd was really behind him since he turned.
And they were definitely behind him. It was a very hot crowd for Matt Hart during this match. Obviously, he was even getting bigger pops than Big Jesse Youngblood, but obviously he was working the heel in this match, though. You know, for me especially, it's so hard to cheer a really good heel, do you know what I mean? Or boo a really good heel.
Yeah, but sometimes even as fans, you got to commit to the show.
Oh, yeah.
And really buy in to make it work well.
And you find yourself doing that a lot. You really can put everything aside. And even if you like the person, you're just like booing them. But
yeah, absolutely. And that's half the fun of going to the indie shows.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the storyline is really driven by the crowd, especially at these indie shows. It's, you know, like the kind of stuff that you would chant at an indie wrestling show. You don't get to hear it literally any other type of sport or gathering of people. Like the chants you hear at wrestling shows that are indie, especially when there's like some alcohol involved and most people are adult, get quite hilarious and quite rude. But it's nice. It's fun. It's just a fun environment to be a part of. But
I really like the finish of this match too.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about it. So I would say that there was a big part of this match is when Big Jesse Youngblood goes to the top rope and he lands on his knee after he's trying to like do a splash, and he lands on his knee, and then Matt Hart just starts working over the knee, and that was really the overarching story, I would say, of this match.
Yeah, there was really strong psychology in this match where Big Jess's knee gave Matt Hart that opening to really go for it. And they teased the sharpshooter, but Big Jess was able to power out of it, hit that huge sidewalk slam.
Yeah, oh, I love that thing.
Big Jess, as a power worker, he is probably one of the best ones in Alberta, if not the best.
It's crazy. And he also knows that ring inside and out because he knows where to slam you to make it the loudest thing. It's like literally like a crack of thunder when he hits that sidewalk slam.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. But we did actually end up having Matt Hart retain the title. He did end up hitting the sharpshooter.
He hit him with a chop block to the leg to take feet out from under Jess and then locked in the sharpshooter, which I quite liked that combination.
It works really well, and I'd like to see him do it more often because like it's just a great... It's like it's just a perfect way to get into the sharpshooter, you know, and take him out at the leg. He'll fall to his face or onto his back. He'll roll over. You're going to grab that leg. You can just hit the sharpshooter really easily out of it. So I think that would be great for Matt Hart, obviously, to continue to be doing moving forward. But that's how he ended up winning this match with the sharpshooter. The crowd really behind Matt Hart in this a good way, a victory for him, obviously. Now that he's the new Commonwealth champion, he's going to have some good title defenses under his belt if he wants to make it seem legit.
Yeah, I'm really interested in who he's going to wrestle next and defend it against.
Like as a real storyline?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can come up with a couple of suggestions right now just based on wins and losses and people who have been doing pretty good lately. Kota is doing pretty well as of late.
Yeah, but Kota, I don't think really needs the needs.
He doesn't
a
really, does he? No,
he's kind of above a championship as a character. And just thinking about getting Matt away from top talent a little bit as challengers. What about a feud between him and D. Dwight Davis?
That would be really. Ooh, I like the storyline there. That's really clever. I like that a lot. Ooh. See, right? This is you know what you're talking about.
Davis could be a little bit jealous that his tag partner is holding gold and he's not.
Yeah, that's actually a really great idea. And especially since like Giant Orion would have been another great answer. But Giant Orion's going to be going after the Canadian championship, it seems. So and we'll get into that as well. But yeah, I think D. Dwight Davis would be a great answer, or Cody Chimera would be another good answer.
Yeah, they teased the D. Dwight Davis and Matt Hart feud a little bit after Matt came back from Hart Legacy, but it was pretty quickly forgotten. They were back tagging together.
Well, I mean, it's wrestling. Sometimes emotions can be re-brought back up months later.
Yeah, a longer feud would actually be really good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. But congratulations to Matt Hart, unfortunately, for Big Jesse Youngblood. He'll have to live to fight another day, but he gets to anyways. Next up, we had a really fun tag match, actually. Vince Austin and Dante of Viking Rage taking on Tyson Hiller and honk, 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 the Canadian Goose, Kyle Shaw. I really enjoyed this match. I always, obviously, a huge mark for the Canadian Goose, Kyle Shaw. Actually got a picture with him at the show, and I got him to sign my 8x10, so that was fun. But let's talk about the actual match a little bit.
So before the match started, as it was Goose and Dante in the ring, and Goose just yells out, make some feather-plucking noise to the crowd. I thought that was brilliant. And it really got the crowd behind him even more than they were when he originally came out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so hard to not be behind the Goose. You know what I mean? The Goose is just the best. I love the Goose. And I got to say, Tyson Hiller did really well in this match. He had that match at the beginning of the month where he tagged with Tony Machete. And he did a good job. But I think this match, like, he really he did really well. So yeah, I really enjoyed with Tyson Hiller in this match.
It was interesting seeing Tyson Hiller as the hot tag in a tag match too.
Yeah. And it worked for him though.
It worked really well. He came in ball of energy and really helped take control.
Yeah. It worked really well. And you know what? Honestly, Vince Austin and Dante Viking Rage, really great tag team. I really like Vince Austin. Obviously, he's the former Commonwealth champion. He lost it on January 4th in Edmonton, the day after the show that we went to, the Retribution show. So, like, Vince Austin, very skilled, really knows his way around a ring. And like everybody worked really well together in this match. And at the very end of the night, it was Tyson Hiller that actually pinned Vince Austin, which is huge for Tyson Hiller.
Yeah, after he super kicked Dante out of the ring.
Yeah, it was really great showing for Tyson Hiller. And I'm just like looking here at my autocorrect, it just keeps saying Tyson Haller. I'm like, no, it's a Hiller. I promise I wrote Hiller. But the match started off Goose and Dante. It starts off quite quickly. Goose gets the upper hand. And I love that sexy Russian leg sweep that he does. He did hit it pretty early on in this. And
Before he hit that, Dante slapped him so hard that his mask came off.
That's right. Oh man, Kyle.
And throughout the entire match, he was dropping feathers. He was molting all over the ring.
He really was. I was trying to count them at one point. I got up to like 13 or 14 feathers that I saw around the ring, and I was like, "Oh man, that's gonna suck to have to fix later."
Yeah.
But no, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed this match. Tyson Hiller came in, like you said, he got the hot tag, and he did some really great. I would say. A really great showcase of the moves that I haven't seen him do up to this point. A lot more high fly. Like you said, that super kick and getting the pin on Vince Austin. I think this is going to be a nice little push here for Tyson Hiller.
Yeah. But what about Austin's pile driver to Goose?
Oh, man, that looked like it really hurt. Yeah. I did not enjoy that. Oh, but geez, the Goose, he's resilient, isn't he?
It was vicious.
It really was. It's kind of interesting when you think about like the whole show, like all these spots that end up happening that are just so amazing. And then you have to think back on them and you just remember how good they were. Because honestly, I had forgotten about that pile driver until you mentioned the pile driver. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. But it was such a fun show, though. Like I just this tag match, I think, was really great. What do you think? Okay, and I want to talk to you about this because I think you're a perfect person to be chatting to about this. Tyson Hiller moving forward. So, obviously, they were building him up in this match. They gave him a good spot. They gave him the hot tag. They gave him the pin on Vince Austin. Tyson Hiller, though, like, I haven't really heard him talk much. I haven't really seen much of a defined character out of him. What do you think they're going to do with him?
That's a hard thing to predict because he's still so young and still so green in the wrestling business. That's not to say he's not brilliant. He's very, very good for the level of experience he has, but I'm not sure what he's going to do in terms of a character, in terms of what push he's going to get. He's just very, very much white meat babyface. And it was interesting to see him paired up with Goose here because he was paired up with Tony Machete last show.
Yeah.
And Tony was paired up with everyone's favorite plastic pants, Jordan Aries, at this show. So maybe the four of them are going to be a bit of a young upstart faction to feud with maybe the established top talent.
That would be really cool. Kind of like a Nexus coming in kind of a thing. So let's move on to the next match here. We had Derek Cross versus Kevin O'Doyle. O'Doyle rules, man. That takes me back to being a kid for sure. And but this was really fun.
Between him and Davey O'Doyle, there must be something to do with that name in Western Canadian wrestling.
There must be. So, like, as far as I know, they don't wrestle against each other. Or, from what I can tell, I don't know how many times her paths have crossed, but they're both from out of province. So I'm going to guess it's probably happened at least a couple of times. And I mean, why haven't they tagged together? I mean, they're both O'Doyle. Probably because the league is so good. That's the reason.
Yeah, the league is so good, and the Sask boys.
Sask boys for life. It's funny how much you like the Sask boys, even as an Alberta. You're just like, I love the Sask boys.
Yeah, you got to love them.
So this was a great match, though. This was definitely what you would consider like a fight of the big guys, the power fights. This is definitely more like your classic wrestling, your like mid-80s, like more strength moves, a lot of positioning, sleepers, hitting people into the corner, things like that. And I think they did a great job for something like that.
Yeah, it was a good match for Derek Cross's return. Because the last match I remember him having was the October 18th show where he wrestled Orion. And he just got absolutely obliterated by Orion. So this was a good match. I quite enjoyed the rear naked choke that he had on O'Doyle. And then O'Doyle obviously backs into the corner and knocks him off.
Yeah, that worked really well for him. It just shows like how big he was. Like, he's just on his back, but he's like, I've got, I don't even want to guess how many pounds he has on him. At least 70, 80 pounds O'Doyle had on Derek Cross. So he just easily carried him to the corner and just knocked him off.
And that Samoan drop that O'Doyle hit on
Cross. It was beautiful. Hey,
it was picture perfect. The only guy I can think that does it better is Jacob Fatu.
Yes. Yeah. I would say that Samoan drop that he did, it was clearly better than a Roman Reigns Samoan drop. Like, I mean, Roman can hit it once in a while. Sometimes he gets a really nice one, but this one was just, it was like, beautiful Samoan drop. Hits the two, only gets a two count with it. Honestly, with how powerful it was, I thought it was going to be the finishing move.
Yeah, that is the definition of a 2.5 count.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But we ended up having Derek Cross getting the win here. He had kind of like a curb stomp with his knee to the back of the head, kind of like Seth Rollins, except instead of using his foot, he used his knee, drove O'Doyle's head right into the mat, flipped him over, got the three count and the win. Oh, it looked very brutal. All those kind of stomp moves, they just look like they're just killer, man.
I agree.
I would not want to take a curb stomp. That's for sure. Remind me never to insult Seth Rollins to his face. That's the important part. Just never to his face. But a great little match here. This was the first time I ever got to see Kevin O'Doyle in person. I know, like I said, he wrestles out of province. But it was great to see him here. And he was one of a couple of different guys you would say came from out of province, because I even think Plastic Pants comes from out of province now. I don't know that, actually. I don't know for sure.
I don't know. I thought he still wrestled.
He might be local.
Calgary, but...
He might just be that he's wrestled other places too, I think, is that. But whatever. I don't know everything. I can't know everything. let's move on to the next match, though. This next match was freaking awesome. I love this next match. Dwight Davis versus Kevy Chevy, or as the crowd immediately nicknamed him, Shamu, which I thought at first was kind of mean, but no, the crowd was so, so hot for Kevy Chevy. They were chanting Shamu at the top of their lungs. And holy crap, can we just talk a little bit about big guys being very acrobatic? Because I've never seen a person, because how much would you say Kevy Chevy weighs? I think they said like 320, 330 pounds or something like that.
I think it was around there that he got billed in as.
I'd say he's at least 300 pounds. You can never
really tell with how it is.
Yeah, he was quite a thick guy. As you said, he did a moonsault from the second rope, successfully hit a moonsault from the second rope. Go ahead.
Yeah, that second rope. And he probably only had a couple of inches of clearance from the mat when he was.
It's crazy. He just hit some crazy stuff. He even hit a sunset flip powerbomb. A guy of his size was able to jump over somebody and hit a sunset flip powerbomb. Grab it. He was successful with it. It looked really good. This guy, I got to talk to this guy one of these days, because I'm going to be like, whoa, how do you practice stuff like this? How do you manage? Because it's crazy. It's crazy. It really is. It's something to behold. And that's just
that
for Kevy Chevy.
Of him doing the... Yeah, you sent that video of him doing the corkscrew moonsault. to me.
Yeah, it blows your mind. There's a video on
that he is that athletic at that size.
No, it's insane just how athletic he is. I think our internet's kind of getting a little wonky again.
Yeah, I think it might be.
That's fine. I'll cut this part out. But and that also doesn't take away from D. Dwight Davis, because D. Dwight Davis, man, he's so solid. Like, okay, so we'll get this out of the way. He was, I guess you could say, working heel in this match. It was hard to tell quite at the beginning exactly how it was going to be working, especially because Matt Hart got the face pop earlier. But the crowd became behind Kevy Chevy in this, and he had really good chops. It feels like he's just practiced a couple of moves super well. And like Kevy Chevy's chops, I think, is one of those ones where he just made perfect sound multiple times. And D. Dwight Davis, same. There was a couple of times where they hit a couple of chops. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. The chops where the crowd was just so into it. It's one part of wrestling shows is going and doing the woo chop. And the fans definitely had no shortage of opportunity to do so.
No, it was awesome. I love high crowds, man. There's nothing like just being in a crowd where everybody can get up on their feet, they can see and enjoy a move. And because, like, you know, sometimes you go to a show and everybody's just kind of sitting there, and like these guys are like busting their ass off in the ring, and you just want to jump up and cheer, but like nobody else is, so you feel kind of self-conscious too. That does not happen at RCW shows, that's for sure. RCW shows always have really nice hot crowds.
Yeah, the crowds are always fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always great at the Legion.
Yeah. So this was a win here for D. Dwight Davis. I hope to see Kevy Chevy return back to Alberta. Great showing for D. Dwight Davis, though. A really good night, obviously, for the set of Hard to Kill. Matt Hart also winning his match. So good night for them. Obviously, booking them quite strong. A great appearance here for Shamu. Man, I hope to have him back. I'm going to be getting him on this podcast. I'm going to get him on this podcast. And I'm going to talk to him because I need to know how this guy trains, because it must be amazing. I love this guy already, and I've got to watch him wrestle once.
Yeah, I think all of us need to know how he trains.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to talk to him. I've already put my feeler out there, just for the record. Now it's online. Great. He has to do it now. He has to do it. Anyways. We'll move on to the next match. We had the Knight of the Apocalypse, Kota, versus the Birthday Boy, the Saint of Striking, Christian Strife. Oh, man. Christian Strife's entrance was amazing. I was so happy by this. So once again, joined to the ring by Scott Lee Crew. Scott Lee Crew playing the perfect manager position for both Big Jesse Youngblood and for Christian Strife in this. So Christian Strife comes to the ring. This is a no holds barred, no disqualification match. There's weapons. He's bringing like a garbage can full of stuff to the ring. He's got like a baseball jersey on, and it says Pepsi on it, which I thought was fantastic. And he's got like an old school baseball helmet. It was fantastic. And like people were like chanting like happy birthday and stuff to him. And it was just fun to be a part of, man. I just love everything Top Talent does all the time.
I really like the Slugger gimmick for him too. I don't know if I'm crazy for saying that, but if he showed up to all of the other shows as a baseball player, I would love it.
That would be fantastic, as long as he doesn't like try to like copy like an Abe Knuckleball Schwartz gimmick, which would not work, I would say. But like a real like the Slugger Christian Strife. And he just, you know, just has that baseball bat, and it like becomes iconic. And he's just, oh, that would be perfect. I think that's a great idea too.
Well, even the batting helmet.
Yeah, right. He used that in this match as a weapon.
The
that's
batting helmet would become his shtick. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to see that. Well, I'm gonna have to have Christian Strife on this podcast here pretty soon. I'll have to talk to him about it. Be like, so what inspired the Slugger? And also, why is that not just more of a thing more often? Because I really loved it. but once again, happy birthday, Christian Strife. Great to see you come out and have a match on your birthday. So let's talk about a couple of the different weapons that we saw in this match. Yeah, just all dressed up.
Yeah, he's dressed up in birthday garb and birthday hat. The other stuff that we saw in the match in terms of weapons, kendo stick, trash can. We saw Kota bring out a door.
Nunchucks, which was one of my personal favorites.
The nunchucks.
I was like, don't forget the nunchucks. Oh, the nunchucks. It was just, it was a fun match. I just from top to bottom, I just enjoyed watching this match. I would say there was never anything that I would consider to be like super crazy happened in this match, though. The spot of the night happened in this match, though. And I'm curious if we're thinking the exact same thing.
It might have something to do with a balloon.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So your spot of the night also happened. Let's talk about the balloon spot quickly, because now everybody's going to be like, what the hell was something with the balloon? Tell them what happened with the balloon.
This was the spot of the night until the last match, but...
fair.
But yeah, Kota grabbing the happy birthday balloon filled with helium and then trying to pop it under his foot as it kept floating away from him and eventually up to the ceiling. I did not expect to see Kota corpse and shrug to the audience and then go back to the match.
It was so funny. It's like one of those things, you can't script something like that. You just have to be a part of it. Yeah, he grabs this balloon, puts it under his foot, cannot pop it, slides out under his foot. He tries to grab it. Like, he just keeps bumbling as it flies past his face, hits the roof. He looks at it, jumps up, tries to grab it a couple of times. Just unsuccessful, like just like millimeters away from touching this balloon. It just kind of waves in the air above him. And you know, sometimes people just kind of break character at just for the perfect moments. When he shrugged, like you were saying, he also let out like this like kind of giggle, like fuck, whatever.
it was so fun.
Oh, it was the best part of that. And it's just sometimes it's just those unscripted moments that it steals a little bit of a show a little bit, but that was by far my favorite part of this match, but it was not short on good stuff.
They got it back really fast though with the door.
Yeah. The door.
Right? Kota brings out the door and then he's going to slam the slugger Christian Strife through it. But Scott Lee Crew keeps knocking it into the ring and onto the mat and eventually grabs it and brings it out between the ring and the guardrail.
Ooh.
Which yeah. I'm sure every listener here knows what's going to happen. Eventually, both guys went through the guardrail to the floor.
And it didn't look comfortable. Like, I couldn't tell if they hit it properly because the way that Strife hit the door and then fell off the door, I was like, did he land on his head? From where I was standing, I could not tell. But it didn't look comfortable, to say the least. Nobody wants to go through a door. Ugh.
No, it looked painful for both of them, and they were both down for a long time.
Yeah. There was another really good part in this match, another spot that I really enjoyed when... this is just the funniest thing because of the audience that was behind me as well. So Christian Strife grabs the trash can because the entire audience has been chanting trash can over and over again. And he knocks down Kota in the corner, and he puts the trash can on Kota. And like Kota's like holding the trash can and he's going to go and hit the coast to coast with the trash can, like a Shane McMahon thing. And so he puts the trash can on Kota and he goes to the other corner. And this guy behind me is like, why is he holding the trash can? Why is he holding the trash can? Because he could see that Kota is clearly holding the trash can in position. But don't worry, this is the funniest thing. But the guy behind me is like almost furious by this. He's just like, he's just holding the trash can. Why is he holding the trash can? So Christian Strife goes onto the top rope and he goes to hit the coast to coast on Kota. And then Kota just throws the trash can at Christian Strife midair, hits him in the face midair. He comes like flying to the mat. And then the guy behind me is like, oh, that's why he was. It was made just better by the commentary because the guy behind me was like, okay. It was like he just couldn't understand it. It's like, he's just so fake. And then I was like, oh, it's just strategy. Oh my gosh. So that made that movie even more special to me. I just sat there laughing for like 2 minutes after I heard the guy say that. But eventually Kota did put Strife through the trash can and pin him for the win. Kota finally pinning Christian Strife after not being able to pin him, I think, in the last four matches, something like that. So happy birthday, Christian Strife.
I think the most underrated move in that match, though, was when Strife hit a Shining Wizard with a chair to Coda.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. It just shows you how good this match was. There were so many cool little spots for it.
Right. And that was kind of the setup for the Coast to Coast. But that move was, it was incredible. It was such a nice nod to a guy like Rob Van Dam with the Van Terminator.
Absolutely. You know what's kind of funny? Christian Strife, like, just as a guy, kind of reminds me a little bit of like an old school RVD, and like a little bit in the attitude and the non-caring, but like still kick-ass persona. I really like that. I really enjoy Christian Strife. I think he does really good work. And but after this match, Coda did get the win. We moved into our intermission before we came back and moved on to our tag match. Tony Machete and Plastic Pants Jordan Aries versus the Big Sexy Beast Bradley Graham and Steve Rivers. And you know what? I have to say, the Steve Rivers, every time I watch him, I feel like he's just such a good promo. He really is. He's a really good talker. As much as you hate his character and what he's saying, you're just like, he says it really well.
Yeah, he's really well spoken. He's such a good promo. And I think he did a really good job of riling up the crowd and also introducing Steve Wilde.
Yeah, and that's right. Steve Wilde made his way to this match as well. So Steve Rivers brings him out. They first come out, obviously. I don't know if there's anything in like apparel or gear that I love more than Bradley Graham's sunglasses. Like, his sunglasses might be the greatest thing that anybody wears in wrestling, because they're like light up and they say Sexy Beast on them and like LED, and they like scroll back and forth. And with his whole gimmick where he's just like coming out, he's just like dancing and playing with his suspenders. I really freaking like Bradley Graham. it's bad. You're just like, oh, like, you look at somebody like this and you're just like, how can you like them? And it's just like, dude, the confidence these guys have blows my mind. These guys are the best. I love these guys. So, and it's sad because, like, you know, I really like Tony Machete. I really like Plastic Pants Jordan Aries. I definitely hate Steve Rivers and everything that he stands for and what he has to say. But it was really hard to cheer against him and Bradley Graham in this match. I was just really enjoying them.
Yeah, I didn't have that problem cheering against them. As great as they are, Plastic Pants is, he's like a folk hero of RCW in Calgary.
He really is. Everybody knows him. This was his return. As soon as people saw him, people chanted Plastic Pants over and over. As soon as you saw him, you texted me. You're like, Plastic Pants in text form, even. And I love that as well, because, yeah, Plastic Pants is fantastic. I saw him wrestle first. Probably the first two or three times I ever saw him wrestle were in CWE shows, actually. So it's really cool seeing multiple promotions and seeing Plastic Pants work his way around everywhere. I love Plastic Pants. And Tony Machete, he's really, really ripped. Jesus Christ, he's ripped. I look at him and I'm
the
just like,
the Filipino bad boy.
I don't know if, is that what they're calling him now? The bad boy?
Filipino bad boy.
Good, because that works for him really well. I want to go ask him all. There's nobody more. Him and Michael Allen, Richard Clark. I just want to ask everything about nutrition, because like I look at them and I'm just like, how to be you and have muscles, because I don't have them. And they're very well. They're fit, man. It's true. Tony Machete also, like, he's just really good. I know he's also relatively new to the world of wrestling, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really new.
Really new. When you watch him wrestle, though, you don't notice that. His confidence in the ring, his trash talk ability, like when Steve Rivers would be calling him like an illegal immigrant and stuff, like the way he would react to the crowd, it felt like a veteran, man. Tony Machete's fantastic.
Yeah, he's my early prediction for breakout star this year.
That's a good choice to make, honestly, because he does really well. If I'm looking at the two RCW stars so far this year who I think are very breakout for me right now, yeah, I would agree. It's probably Tony Machete or even Tyson Hiller after his match, just because I was just like, just that one match, I went like, I want to see more of Tyson Hiller. So right now, those two, I'm kind of just being like, I'm really interested to see what happens with Tony Machete and Tyson Hiller moving forward. And of course, Jordan Aries, obviously well known around here. Favorite spot in this match, I have to say, it's the same thing where Bradley Graham opens up his underwear or his tights, and then he takes his fingers, rubs it down, gets all the juice that he can muster onto his finger, and like slams it into Tony Machete's face. And then he lets Steve Rivers do the same thing. And Steve Rivers hooked it on almost like a mandible claw. Oh, poor Tony Machete, man.
It's so gross.
It is so gross. It's disgusting. But you know what? Like, they got their own revenge in this match, though. Jordan Aries, he goes to this corner. I think he was hitting, I want to say it was Steve Rivers. He puts in the corner, goes up, hits him 9 times in the head, and then hits Hurricane Rana. It was fantastic. It was a great move there for Jordan Aries. The crowd's so behind them, though. Like, this match, like, it was very clear who the crowd wanted to win. Tony Machete and Jordan Aries, just crowd favorites, it felt like.
Yeah, Steve Wilde also had a really good role in this one.
Yeah, he had pushed, I believe it was Jordan Aries off the top rope, stopping him from hitting a splash.
He stopped a couple of tags where Tony Machete was going to tag Plastic Pants, and Steve Wilde pushes Plastic Pants off the apron.
Steve Wilde was a fantastic manager in this. Like, he played the role perfectly. Like, he would have fit perfectly in, like, Top Talent. You know what I mean? Like, he just knew where to be at the right times. And not only that, the promo that he cut after the match, I thought was really good as well. Man, he was not scared to tell the crowd to shut up.
No, and I thought it was a really good promo to set up a match for next Friday.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that, because we have a fundraiser next Friday to be, I can't remember the guy's name right now, a member of the Hart family.
Rhett,
thank you. Yeah, Rhett Hart. All proceeds, everybody is going, is donating their time. So I believe $20 admission at the door. Tickets only available at the door, and all the proceeds are going to go towards buying him a mobility van to help him get around, so he can travel a lot easier. So if you're in Calgary next Friday, or this Friday coming up, I should say, which is the 7th, make your way down to RCW at the Royal Canadian Legion number 1. It's for a good cause, and we're going to have some really great matches, and we can talk about one of them, because as this match finished up, we ended up having the big sexy beast Bradley Graham pinning Plastic Pants after what I always call a fun splash, but that's where he like jumps, turns sideways and splashes people. I call that the fun splash, thanks to certain things. Anyways, hits that, gets the 3 count, and that sets up the match for next week, because we have Steven Styles making his in-ring return, I guess you could say. I don't know how many long it's been since his last match, but it's going to be him, Tony Machete, and Jordan Aries next week taking on Steve Rivers, Bradley Graham, and Steve Wilde in a 3-on-3 match. So that's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, that should be really good. And the other match that they announced earlier was Heavy Metal Scott Lee Crew against Matt and Torrey Hart.
Right, Torrey
so
Hart
is coming
back as
well. So that should also be really, really good.
It's going to be a really fun night, I think, next Friday. I'm definitely going to be there. And I'm really looking forward to it. Like, the cards, even if just those two matches are announced, you know, I'm excited to see it, because, like, I haven't seen Steven Styles wrestle myself. I don't even know how long it's been now. Because every time I've ever been to a match, he just hasn't been wrestling. So I can't even think of the last time. So
yeah, I think the last time I can remember seeing him was when he wrestled Big Bruce.
I don't even know when that was.
that must have been months ago.
Yeah, there you go. So it'll be fun to see him getting in the ring again. Steve Wilde. Now, I'm not too familiar with how he actually wrestles in ring, but if, like, he's clearly a veteran. Like, you can tell. Like, the guy's obviously been around for a long time. I don't know too much about Steve Wilde, if I'm being 100% honest. I know he's been around for a while, and that's just me being a little bit ignorant, but I am extremely excited to see what he can do next week, because if his promo is any indication of his abilities, I'm blown away already by what he could probably do in ring.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be a great show, a great cause. It's a minimum $20 donation, so you can donate above that if you want to.
And like I said, it's for a really good cause. The Hart family, obviously, it's a legendary family here in Calgary. Getting this mobility van for Red is just, it's going to help immensely, and it just goes to show us just how good the wrestling community is around here. Let's get them that van, guys. Like, it's going to be worth it. Trust me. I have to get there early next time, though. Because I actually just got there like with like a minute to spare. I'm pretty sure Steven Styles was already in the ring. So when I got there. But let's move on to the next match now, because there's only two matches left. This next match actually surprised me. This is one of those matches where I was like almost certain I knew which way it was going to go. And it did not go the way that I was expecting. We had the Canadian Hercules, Tyler Colton, coming in and facing Giant Orion. And I've got some fun more stuff to talk about Giant Orion, but let's just talk a little bit about the Canadian Hercules. This is the first time I've ever seen him wrestle inside of an RCW ring, personally. I've seen him wrestle across CWE rings a couple of different times. He's always worked face everywhere I've ever seen him. This was the first time I've ever actually seen Tyler Colton work heel.
He did well with it.
He did. I thought so as well. Like his confidence, his ability, it worked well for this. Giant Orion came in as the face. Can we just talk a second about how big Giant Orion is? This match was obviously billed as the Battle of the Giants because the Canadian Hercules, Tyler Colton, no small man. He is obviously a very big man, but even compared to like Giant Orion, he ain't that big. Because Giant Orion is scary big, man. So big.
He's scary big, and he has legitimate fighting credentials. He is a scary person.
He is a scary person. I always said this, and there was a person that was sitting beside me who had the same reaction to seeing him the first time I ever saw him, which was like when he was first coming to the ring, you can't tell quite how big he is because Giant Orion is proportioned perfectly that like we talked about this in the last podcast too, that if he was 5'2", he would probably still have the same structure that he does, that is whatever, 7 foot height, whatever he is. But it's not until you see him get into the ring and stand next to somebody where you go like, holy shit, this guy is fucking huge. And I've always been a big fan of the big man. Like growing up, like I always loved watching the big behemoths wrestle, Big Show, Kane, Undertaker, like the big guys always really got me. So like, I just immediately like Giant Orion. Even before I even saw him wrestle the first time, which the first time I saw him wrestle, he executed all his moves flawlessly. I think he had like 5 or 6 moves in the first match back on January 3rd against Jude Dawkins and Bryce Sova. And they were just flawless moves. And I was like, okay, I like this Giant Orion guy. And then in this match, dude's really good.
Yeah. And he really showed that athletic background that he has.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It shows that because like he moves fast and you can't expect a guy his size to move fast. Like I'd say he's like obviously still a couple inches shy of like an Andre the Giant. Obviously, Andre was just too big to exist. But like he had no problems in terms of movement, though. You know what I mean? Like for at 7 foot, he moves like a guy who's like 5'8", 5'9".
Absolutely. Tyler Colton, 6'3". Or 6'4", and Giant Orion was a full head taller than him.
Yeah, that's a really good point of saying it that way. And Tyler Colton is an impressive person because like that guy, like when he flexes, it's scary. Dude is in good shape and he can perform some power moves. So even if Tyler Colton doesn't necessarily look like the most jacked person in the world, he acts like it and he moves and lifts people like he is. He had no problem lifting up Giant Orion in this match on a couple of different occasions.
Yeah, he made it look incredibly easy.
Like, I cannot even imagine being able to do something like a German suplex to a Giant Orion, but like Tyler Colton just looked like he was just like suplexing like a pillow. It's crazy how strong Tyler Colton is. And honestly, because I've always known Tyler Colton in the CWE mostly, I know how over he is. I know how well he gets booked. I was actually kind of expecting him to win this match. But Giant Orion, man, he hits that German suplex and he gets the win at the very end. And it was awesome. Like, I was actually kind of like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. I love being surprised in wrestling, man.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that one either. I was... Because I think they were advertising Tyler Colton and Heavy Metal for the championship the next night in Edmonton.
Mm.
So I was kind of going, okay, it'll be Tyler Colton winning somehow.
Right. Yeah, and that's where my brain went as well. But no, Giant Orion gets the pin on Tyler Colton. I guess now he's the new number one contender for Heavy Metal's Canadian championship. And I honestly think that's going to be an amazing match.
Yeah, it'll be really good.
Also, I gotta say, Giant Orion hit a uranagi in this match, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful uranagi. I was immediately reminded of like Samoa Joe and The Rock with just how fluid it felt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, love that.
He's really, really talented.
No, he really, really is. But that does move on to the very last match, a match that wasn't announced. We knew that Heavy Metal was going to have a kind of an open challenge here. And it looks like Bryce the Slammer Sova answered that challenge. What a match, eh?
It was easily the match of the night. It is going to be hard to think that this one's not in my top three matches of the year at the end of the year.
So you know this match. Like, your ability to recall on this match is crazy. So why don't you, I let you lead a little bit with this match, because, oh man. Let's just start off actually first with the entrances. Heavy Metal's entrance is easily becoming one of my favorite things in all of wrestling. Not just in Alberta wrestling, but his theme song, him coming to the ring, his confidence when he's there with all of top talent and they all just come to the ring together. You saw this especially on the January 3rd show. I absolutely love his entrance and Top Talent's entrance to the ring. It's literally one of my favorite things. They're so happy and having fun together. It's infectious.
Yeah, they are the best act, but Metal coming out alone here mm-hmm. really set the tone for the match, right? He came out, he was working as the babyface, and I'm sure you saw his tweet where he said, babyface Metal, goddammit.
Yeah, I saw that. That made me laugh. I obviously had to like that. But
right? The match was so good. It was such a refreshing sight to see Heavy Metal work as a face, because as long as I've been going to RCW, he's been that guy. He's been the Ric Flair. He's been on top of the mountain. And I love his work, whether he's a heel or a face, but it was so refreshing to be able to just cheer him for an entire match.
Right. And not feel like an idiot. Like you were telling me about that match a couple of months ago where he came to the ring like a cowboy and like all of top talent was like trying to get the crowd into it. And they were like dancing together. And then you saying at the end that he was just like, do you know who I am? You idiot Hicks and stuff.
It was a lot of fun to be able to cheer him openly and like that. But this match was really, really good. It started out fast too. Metal hitting the head scissors and an arm drag and working the arm of Slammer.
Yep.
Then you had a little bit of chain wrestling there. Hammerlock transitions. Crucifix pin by Metal at one point. This match started off really technical, and then they started laying in with really stiff strikes.
Yeah, and I really like how matches can kind of build up like that. Like, not all matches, and I always think this for the best of matches, I always find that you have to build to them, like, hitting the big moves. You got to start with the feeling out process. You got to start with positioning, getting a couple of hits in, and then eventually, you know, you start hitting the drop kicks and things start getting a little bit faster. But I feel without that build, like, without that storytelling, I feel like you miss out a lot of stuff on a match. And this is one of those matches where I felt like the storytelling and that build really helped accelerate the story.
Yeah, it was really good. And it for me, the peak was where Slammer got tossed out of the ring. I think he missed a running clothesline and Metal ducked it,
mm-hmm.
but he ended up on the outside. And then Metal hit, this was my spot of the night. He hit this suicide dive where he ended up in the front row.
Oh, yeah, over the barricade.
Over the barricade into the laps of the people in the front row. And he gets back up and everyone is going wild for him.
It was a refreshing change of pace, like you were saying, right? Like everybody was just so behind him.
Yeah, then they get back into the ring and Slammer starts to gain control. At one point, Heavy Metal threw a punch and missed, and then Slammer headbutted him in the back of the neck and locked in a camel clutch.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Iron Sheik a little bit.
Yeah, it was a move like that where it was just, oh boy, this is a fight.
Right, yeah. And like Slammer is no small man. Like, neither is Heavy Metal, obviously, but like Slammer, like if he gets you in that camel clutch, it looks like it hurts, man. That guy's got serious arm strength.
Yeah, and one of the things where Slammer was working the heel that was really nice too was the crowd was chanting 10 more slams,
mm-hmm.
like they did when he was working the gauntlet match a couple months ago. But in that match, he gave the crowd 10 more slams. This one, he just refused to give them slams.
Yeah, same thing happened on January 3rd. He was trying to hit a couple slams on Jude Dawkins, and the crowd was like, 10 more slams. I think they gave him one more, and then he was like, no, I'm done.
Yeah. But why would I continue to slam this guy and lose? Because that's what happened to me when I listened to you guys before.
Right? Yeah, he's just like, I'm not here to play for the crowd. I'm here to win. I'm here for me. And I like that. I like that a lot. But
yeah, it's a great character trait.
So I got to say, Metal's chops, right? Metal had some phenomenal chops in this match. Chops Metal might be my favorite. That's true. Chops might be my favorite move in all of wrestling. Growing up, I would not have said a chop. I would have said powerbomb. Growing up a little bit later, I'd have said the Spanish fly. But a good chop, like I don't react to anything. I look away. I cringe my face. I like tense up when there's a really good chop. Like I feel it. You know what I mean? Chops are beautiful. I love chops.
It was an absolute war of chops.
Just back and forth.
Back and forth. And then Slammer hits this huge overhand chop. And Metal goes down to his knees holding his chest.
I don't envy anybody that had to deal with chops, man. Because like, I think it was also earlier in the night too, Christian Strife's chest. Because he got chopped a couple of times by Kota. And that did not look pretty either. His chest was looking pretty raw at the end of the match.
Yeah, whenever I see really heavy chops, I'm sure I've said this to you before. I think back to the Renegade at Heart Legacy Wrestling in January 2019, where Laredo Kid got a hold of him and just turned his chest into hamburger.
Yeah, you were telling. I wish like I was
he,
there.
He hits him with two chops and he's bleeding.
Oh, man, my chest hurts just thinking about shit like that. Can I just put this out there? I'm actually very curious what Heavy Metal uses for a conditioner, because he looks like he has the softest hair in the world. And I'm very jealous of it. But like, you look at the guy, right? Like he does. His hair flows so beautifully, like a Pantene Pro V commercial. I love it.
Yeah. Whoever's product he uses needs to sponsor him.
Right? Because I'm like, this dude is the RCW Canadian heavyweight champion, if you want to put that in there. And like, he just looks like, you know what? He looks like he could be wrapped in gold and he could be like bronzed as a statue. That's like Heavy Metal for you. There you go. Heavy Metal would make the best bronzed statue in all of Alberta wrestling. Let's get towards the end
next.
Of this match.
He made the belt this year. He'll make the bronze statue in 2021.
You know what? I hope I get the chance to interview Heavy Metal and the rest of Top Talent one of these days. And I'm going to make that suggestion to them. Be like, so the Top Talent Forever title, beautiful, immaculate. And I think there's only one way that you can move up from that bronze statue that you wheel to the ring, and like it takes like six people. You can order some minions from the Dark Order. I'm sure they're on loan. They'll carry it into the ring for you. That'd be awesome. Let's get towards the end of this match here. Really freaking great. At the very end, we had Heavy Metal winning with the super kick, that freaking beautiful super kick that he has. Oh. And he drops Sova, and boom, three count. We have the Heavy Metal retaining the championship. Dude, how long was this match? Like easily 30 something minutes, it felt like.
I think it was a little under 30 minutes. If I had to put a number where it was probably 24 minutes or so, but I wasn't timing it. And that's one of the things where I really don't want to even think about doing.
No, fair. It was a really good match. Like you said, match of the night. it's really hard for me to dislike a lot of the, you know, like the what RCW does. I feel like they put on some really good stories, man. I think they've done a really good job, and especially in this show, they made Tony Machete look really good. They made Tyson Hiller look really good. They obviously, the Canadian Goose is incredibly over. They, you know, they've got Steve Rivers and Bradley Graham and Steve Wilde now doing really great work as a heel. You've got top talent putting on fantastic matches. They're bringing in great talent like Kevy Chevy, who came in, and Kevin O'Doyle. Just fantastic work. Great job by the RCW. This is a really good show.
Yeah, I think this show, as great as the January 3rd show with Ace Austin and Silas Young was, mm-hmm. it was a fantastic show. I think this show was a stronger storytelling show.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
And an overall better representation of what RCW has to offer.
I think a special part of that is also because they didn't have to bring in people like a Silas Young or an Ace Austin, two people in one show. They were able to showcase a lot more of what they have in RCW. They were able to, you know, bring storylines forward even more. And I really like that. And they've even, like I said, they built two matches for next week, which will be taking place on Friday. So make sure you're out for that one, guys. Like I was saying, that's going to be a great show.
I was really missing the act on this one of Cody Chimera and Celia Fate.
Yeah.
And I hope that they somehow find their way to Retro Ferret.
Me too. I hope to see them there. Same with Travis Cole. Travis Cole wasn't on this card either. And obviously I'm a big fan of Travis Cole as well. So I'd like to see them all there. But I'm going to be just excited to see what we get next Friday, because I think we're going to get a lot of really great stuff.
Yeah, I'm really excited in seeing next week's show.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I'm going to see you there then, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'll be there early. To make sure that I get in the door, get a seat, and have a prime sight line to be able to see the wrestling action.
Absolutely. We should also say, what a packed house. It was absolutely packed. I don't think there was an empty seat in the house.
No, this was probably, if it wasn't at capacity, it wasn't that far off.
No, exactly. It was there was a lot of people, a lot of energy at the show tonight. So I hope they did really well. I'm sure they did. It looked like it was a really fun show. I was really glad to be there. But that does do it for today's RCW that we had Fight for Respect, which took place on January 31st. Paul, thank you again for joining me here today. Talk about who you are and where people can find you and what you do, my friend.
So the YYC Wrestling Hub is committed to making it easy for fans to get out and see live wrestling action by exposing and talking about where they can see it, when they can see it. We also really love to talk about how great the wrestling talent we have in Calgary and Alberta is. So you can find us on Twitter at YYC Wrestling Hub, or you can go to our website, yycwrestlinghub.com. There is an events page there with a calendar that shows all of the events that are happening in Alberta.
Fantastic, dude. The work that you have done to try to like track all of this and put it all together in one spot, it makes life so much easier for people like me. You have to keep track of when I have to schedule everything. So thank you very, very much for the work that you do. Before we do wrap that up here today, before we do go, just want to say to everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. If you did like what you heard, remember to hit that like button and subscribe to whatever podcast app you're listening to this to. It also helps out the review our show a lot if you left us a 5-star rating and review. If that is what you want to do, stay tuned, because on Wednesday I have an episode, an interview with the PWA Mayhem Champion, the King of Thick Style, the Thickness, Reed Matthews, and that's going to be fantastic. I had a nice sit-down interview with him. He actually came here, sat down one-on-one, so it's going to be a really fantastic quality interview. The best sound I'm going to have of any of the interviews I've done so far, so stay tuned for that. And we have two more shows, the RCW show, which is going to be taking place on January 9th for Rhett, or I'm sorry, January 7th, February 7th for Rhett to get him a new van, as well as we have a PWA show on the 8th. So remember to tune in for that. That'll be taking place at the Cedar Break Community Center on the 8th. So stay tuned. Thank you again, Paul, and I hope you all have yourself a wonderful day.